Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. COVID-19 has delivered a wrecking ball to the economy. A growing number of San Antonio residents are unable to pay their bills, including rent or mortgage. The city of San Antonio is stepping up to help those who have dwindling resources with a $25 million COVID-19 Emergency Housing Assistance Fund. In a few minutes, we'll be able to open up the phone lines and take your questions about who qualifies and how to access this fund. But first, yesterday I spoke with City Councilmember Roberto Trevino about the fund.
Well, first, just know that the Risk Mitigation Fund was something that came up actually 2 years ago. Two and a half years ago, and it was in response to a lot of the issues we've been having all over our city. And this was some of the tensions we were feeling from the Soapworks tenants, and finding a way to support renters as they were looking at potential displacements. So that's where the Risk Mitigation Fund was established. We got it to $1 million. And through this epidemic, of course, that money kind of ran down pretty quickly. We're at about $350,000 to this point last week. And so what we did was say, look, we need to find more money, because now the city is really, truly feeling the impact. The issue came up that most of the money, 82% of the dollars that were being allocated, were federally funded, and those federal funds are attached with strings. And there's a lot of people who don't qualify for federal stimulus dollars. They don't qualify for unemployment. And so we needed to consider the fact that we are essentially the last line of defense for those folks in our community. We know that there are many of them, many that don't file taxes, don't make enough money, can't qualify for PPP, in essence, have a very, very serious issue because they're not getting the help or support from federal or state dollars. We know we have undocumented in our community, and we simply are not going to ignore that. So we augmented the Risk Mitigation Fund to be more balanced and got it to $25 million so that it's funded. It's got millions more from city funding. We pieced together different sources to make that happen.
$25 million, that's incredible. I don't think the city has ever done anything like this at this scale.
No, it hasn't. And I found out it's the largest risk mitigation fund in the country. But I will also tell you, we need more. We got the end-of-day report yesterday, and in less than a week, we already have committed $7 million of that risk mitigation fund to 3,900 families. So it is a huge need in our community. It is going to serve as a bridge to help keep people in their homes. But we need more, and we need to keep pushing to find more dollars. I will make this request on your show that we also want local philanthropists to help match these dollars that we provided as a city. So the whole point is that this $25 million, yes, it's a lot. But, we hope it inspires others to give.
Right now, the city of San Antonio is seeing a reduction of its revenue. The city's going to have to figure out how to make that work. Simultaneously, you want to come up with more multiple millions of dollars to help residents deal with the economic fallout from COVID-19. It seems like this is math that may not work.
Well, it's more than math. It's also important to point out that there are pots of dollars, cash accounts that are just sitting there. And that's how we got to the $25 million. So we can say, yes, while we may not be generating more money, that doesn't mean that there wasn't any cash in certain accounts that we're going to simply sit there until the next fiscal year. And so I think the priority should be for us to use all our available resources to help those in need right now. That's the critical piece of this. There's people's lives at stake here. We know, as was stated yesterday by Dr. Barbara Taylor, part of the phased approach in recovery starts with phase one. Stay home, work safe. Well, if you can't stay home, then the rest of it falls apart. We cannot afford to have people kicked out of their homes, evicted, and of course have no response for that. We just simply can't afford it.
So who qualifies for this fund?
So the fund, again, it's got different funding mechanisms, and so the federal dollars has its own strings attached. And with regards to the city funding, it is much more open to help serving those that simply fall between the cracks. Let me point out, I also got this figure just this morning, 57% of the folks we're helping right now earn less than 10% of the AMI, the local area median income. That's less than $7,000 a year. That's who we are. That's where we are. And so we need to recognize that reports like the poverty report that came out before this crisis really identified a lot of our vulnerabilities in San Antonio, and we need to address that. The key here is that this fund needs to help everyone, especially those that have fallen between the cracks. And so we will make sure as policymakers that we don't create policy that leaves anybody out. That's why it's also just as important that those funds that I push for, the $9.2 million more to the risk mitigation fund that got us to $25 million, came from our city funds, because that allows us to dictate where those funds can go. And ultimately, we know they need to go to everyone. And so if we didn't do that, then essentially our hands would be tied on the regulations that the federal funds put on those dollars. And so I think we did the right thing by balancing it this way.
Okay, so let's be frank. Frequently, the federal regulation is they want dollars like this going to American citizens.
Correct.
And we have a sizable population in San Antonio who are not American citizens. They may be resident here legally, but they're not citizens, or they may not even be here legally, but they are part of our community.
That's exactly right. We know we have a large undocumented population. They work in our community. They contribute to the functions and the revenues.
And they're vulnerable.
And they're absolutely vulnerable. They're incredibly vulnerable. They're not getting any help. They don't qualify for PPP. They don't qualify for unemployment, but they are part of our system. And we are not going to stand idly by and not help those folks. You know, I'd also add that there are also other folks that simply don't file taxes. For example, as I mentioned, 57% of our of the people we're helping fall below the poverty rate, and those folks do not have to file income tax. And so, you know, those are the kinds of barriers that keep people from receiving help. So we know this, and we're not going to ignore it.
What happens if we don't have a fund like this?
Well, you know, I'm afraid to even imagine what that is, but I will tell you that without a fund like this, I think it puts us in a tailspin as a city. We simply can't afford to allow people to be kicked out of their homes, to not afford simple things like groceries, not have their utilities covered. This is and I'll put it in Dr. Barbara Taylor's words yesterday when I asked her about this and how phase one talks about stay home. This is truly a part of the serious health crisis that we're in. If we can't simply help keep people in their homes, as we know is being prescribed, then we are only adding to the problem.
So without a fund like this, we'd be adding to the homeless population. We'd be putting people doubling up in apartments, creating an environment where they're more likely to catch the COVID-19. It would have a domino effect on the economy. That's less dollars flowing through our system. More jobs would be lost. Is that what you're thinking?
That's exactly right. It just shows the delicate thread that is part of how many people exist in our community. And we, as City of San Antonio, have to play a huge role, if not the last line of defense, in helping to set up a truly robust social safety net for all those folks. We simply can't ignore it. I won't ignore it. And so this is exactly what the Risk Mitigation Fund is trying to do. But it can't just be the Risk Mitigation Fund. There are other things that we need to pay special attention to, like the moratorium on evictions, and how we're grateful that the Supreme Court extended it to May 18th. But what happens May 19th? We need to have a plan and policy in place that is a wraparound strategy that thinks about how people are going to be facing this issue for many more months to come. We're trying to tackle it with the Risk Mitigation Fund, but it also involves understanding eviction procedures, understanding basic renter's rights in our community. I've pushed for a renter's commission for over a year now, and this is just a prime example of what we need in our community. 47% of our city, that's over 500,000 people, rent. And we know that there are just simply very little to no rights that are expressed for renters. Property tax notices are going out now. And what's going to happen when those appraised values that people receive demonstrate that their values are going up? Because state law mentions that, or states that those values have to be reported as of January 1st of that year. Of course, we weren't going through this issue January 1st. So all property valuations are not going to make sense to a lot of people. We asked the governor to roll taxes from last year to this year. It's basically no tax increase. And we've not heard back. When it comes to property valuations, investment properties, rental properties are the most vulnerable. There are no protections for renters. And so when that hits and that those notices arrive to some of these property owners, it's going to have a second wave of impact on renters and evictions, I believe.
Roberto Trevino is a council member for San Antonio's District 1. He pushed to expand the city's emergency housing fund to $25 million. And he's looking for more dollars to keep local residents in their homes during this economic downturn. When we come back, the phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. What questions do you have about this emergency fund? Are you in need? Have you applied? How has that worked out? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, back in 1 minute. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the COVID-19 Housing Emergency Relief Fund from the City of San Antonio, $25 million in that fund right now. And it's going towards people in most need in San Antonio who could be losing their homes, could be out on the streets. They can't pay the rent, can't pay the mortgage, they can't pay other bills. How do we connect the dollars that are available now to the people who really need it? Call in. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. We're joined for the remaining of the hour with Veronica Vero Soto, the director of the City of San Antonio's Neighborhood and Housing Services Department. Veronica, it's great to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Celina Pena joins us, board president of the San Antonio Housing Trust Foundation. Celina Pena, good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, joining us, is Patricia Mejia, Vice President of Community Engagement and Impact for the San Antonio Area Foundation. Patricia, good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Veto, at the San Antonio Neighborhood and Housing Service Department, tell me about what you are seeing right now in terms of need in San Antonio. What is going on?
So as soon as the stay-at-home orders went into effect, the number of calls to our office for our risk mitigation assistance went up exponentially. We are used to getting about 53 calls per week, and those would be calls or applications online. And that's staff we have. And since then, every week, the number of calls or online applications we have had has grown exponentially. We're averaging about 1,000 applications online a day now. And so the need is really great. And these are folks who need to have money to pay their rent or are worried about their mortgage. Some of them had arrears already, and so they're even more concerned. And the need and the calls, the volume is just incredible. So we had originally only 8 staff assigned to that program, and they could process the 53 per week and do other work as well. Because of the volume of calls, we now have 41 staff fully dedicated to this, from reassignments in our department. We even have reassigned staff from other departments that are helping us, because we know that we need to get to the applications because the need is real. And so that's just the volume of calls and online applications we have received. It's a lot of calls. So even with 41 people, I'm asking our applicants to have patience with us. People are still calling even though the application is online, because it's just a lot of folks calling at the same time, and we have a lot of great staff, but they're getting overwhelmed with the need in our community.
Without naming any names, can you kind of give me a story? What have you heard? What are people saying?
Well, the applications tell us the story. We have folks, like I mentioned, that some of them are in arrears, and so they may have been a little bit behind. They may have had one bill that was unpaid, and now that is compounded. So the kind of story that we hear is that they got laid off, their hours were reduced, and they were already 1 month behind. And so now they're fearful that they will be evicted if they don't come up with the next month's rent. A lot of what we hear as well is that folks are also asking us where they might be able to get assistance for food. A lot of calls came in once we added the new element, which is the direct cash assistance, with people wanting to know how they could get help to pay for their internet service and how to get the cash assistance. Now, that's something new. The policy we adopted adds that because of the need that we heard, that people are asking for other services besides the rent and mortgage. They're asking, where else can I get assistance to pay for this internet? They're asking for the utility assistance, which was covered. We did expand it to cover internet, but they're also asking where else they can get services, like, you know, where else can I get food? Where else can I get additional help, because the need is so great. And so a lot of families coming in have not asked for assistance in the past. We have a lot of working age families coming in. So the ages, I'll tell you, the majority of the ages of people applying, they're between 26 to 45. That's over 60% of the folks who are coming in to ask for help. So they're all working age, and these are folks who had jobs before, but now their hours are reduced or they are now unemployed. And so those are the stories that we're hearing. And people are really afraid that they'll lose their house. And we certainly don't want that to happen, because for this public health emergency, we need people to stay housed. And our goal is to prevent homelessness. We don't want people to not be able to stay housed.
Selena Pena, board president for the San Antonio Housing Trust Foundation. What's happening to the housing market right now? We were already in a pretty tight crunch for affordable housing in San Antonio before COVID-19 hit. What's changed?
Well, as you can imagine, and Veronica has been part of these conversations, business has definitely slowed in pace as it relates to projects moving forward. The Housing Trust Public Facilities Corporation met this week, actually, and approved 3 to 4 projects that will be moving into build. So we are still seeing movement. It's just not as quickly as obviously we would want and need. And as it relates to, you know, using public facility funds, as Councilman Trevino would reflect on, and Councilwoman Villagran, who's the chair, we need to make sure that these projects are able to get to speed post-COVID, stay at home, work safe steps, if you will. So still moving, not as fast as we need it to, but that has been the case for a couple of decades at this point. But we have not kept our eyes off the prize of how do we still create equitable approaches for new builds. And one of the projects was actually a rehab project as well on the Pan Am and the South Side. So that's where we are from, and that's just multi-housing, Dave. It's not single family. That's really our area of expertise and focus.
And Patricia Mejia, with the San Antonio Area Foundation, how is philanthropy playing a role in dealing with this crisis?
Yeah, you know, it's a moment to be really proud of our community. You know, there's so many people who have stepped right in to try and support in any way possible. You know, across the country, we know that other communities were impacted before us, and therefore we were able to get somewhat of a playbook about how to start an emergency response fund. And so early in March, the United Way and the Area Foundation came together to start the fund, seeded it originally with $1 million from the John L. Santikos Fund, but very quickly it went up to about $2.7 million. Now, a month later, we've doubled that. And, you know, it's not just emergency housing. We're really focused across the gamut of all of the different needs that have surfaced because of the crisis, from food insecurity to helping support young children who are trying to now work remotely and learn remotely, and supporting those families with access to technology to be able to make that transition. So it's a really proud moment for the city to really figure out how many folks have stepped in. But I will say it's really our philanthropy's responsibility to support and augment programs like this. You know, the city has done a tremendous job of standing up this program so quickly, and so we're very pleased to be able to support it.
But even now, the San Antonio Area Foundation has got to be seeing what's happening to the economy. The Santikos Fund, which is amazing. I mean, those theaters haven't been opened for a while.
That's absolutely right. You know, there's not been one person in the world that hasn't been impacted by COVID, and our theaters are one of those. And so we like you know, the rest of the world are waiting to see how and when we can come back to operate in some type of new normal. And so we'll wait to see how that happens.
We're talking about San Antonio's COVID-19 Housing Relief Fund. This is a fund. There's $25 million available, and you'll be surprised at how quickly $25 million can go out the door because the level of need that we have here in San Antonio. There is a challenge to figure out how to connect the people with the most need with these dollars, particularly when we have a large part of our vulnerable population that is not able to access the internet. They're not really surveying the news all the time. They may not know that this program exists. And we have to figure out how do we find those individuals, how do we keep them in their homes, and how do we provide a service? And particularly right now, as the economy is being hit by this coronavirus wrecking ball. If you've got a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Do you need this money? Has this happened to you? We certainly want to hear your story. And if you've applied for it, how does that worked out? 833-877-8255. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The coronavirus is devastating communities of color in the U.S.
Latinos are, you know, hit first and worst. Latinos and African Americans are disproportionately getting sick and dying.
Voices from three major Latino organizations reflect on the discrepancies on the next Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the COVID-19 Housing Relief Fund from the City of San Antonio. And you can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to a caller, and Ernest is on the line. Ernest, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I am a 70-year-old male, and I have been on a long-term rental agreement. The owner of the property died 30 days ago, and yesterday I received a phone call from an attorney telling me that I was being evicted. I'm flapping in the wind, and I just need some direction, please.
All right, Ernest, I'm sorry to hear that. Veronica Soto, the director of the City of San Antonio's Neighborhood and Housing Services Department, what would you tell Ernest?
Ernest, first, I'm sorry you're facing that situation. Our program can assist you. So the original risk mitigation program was set up to help families facing eviction like you are. And what I would ask is, if you do have internet access, to go online to submit the application and tell us the information that we need. And so we changed our handle online to make it easier. So now folks can go to sanantonio.gov and type in /emergency housing assistance. And that will take them directly to the page where we have the application. If you're looking for another house to live in or another place to rent, we can help you with that from the original risk mitigation fund policy, since we can help you relocate to another location. Our program now has been rebranded as the COVID-19 Emergency Housing Assistance Program, and we have other things that we can help with. Again, I do ask patience, because the value is so high and there are some documents that you need. So for everyone going to that site, please have access to the documents that you need ready. We do need a copy of an ID to show to us that you do live in the city limits of San Antonio. This program is limited to the city limits. We know the county has another housing assistance program. They just announced that, and they have $4 million to help county residents. But if you're in the city limits of San Antonio, have some kind of ID that shows us that. Have the information about the eviction notice. That's the proof of hardship that we need. And you can use it via phone. You can take a picture of it and upload the information directly from your phone if you have phone with internet access. We do need some identifying information and the information of the address where you were receiving services and how much assistance you need. So there are some documents that are needed for applications to be loaded up. So Ernest, again, go to sanantonio.gov / emergency housing assistance, and that's where you can fill out your application. It is taking us a little bit of time to process applications. We have set up all the funds as well, so we just ask for a little bit of patience from our clients, since we're trying to get to all the applications as quickly as possible, but there is some verification information we need when we are making the payments. And I want to thank both the San Antonio Housing Trust and the Area Foundation for being partners with us. Certainly our staff team is working very hard in long hours, but our partners are also contributing. So the San Antonio Housing Trust Foundation, for example, just this week allocated money to this program. That's part of our $25 million. And we have a partnership with the San Antonio Area Foundation. One, they also contributed last week to this program, so we're very grateful for that assistance. And second, we're working with them for donations. So while we know there's a great need in our community, we want to encourage those who can to consider donating to this. And you can do it via text or online. Online, it's housinghelpsa.org. And via text is, you text 41444. and you text Housing Help SA. So those who can donate to this, we encourage that. In the segment earlier, Councilman Trevino mentioned that we're using some federal money. We can use federal money to help some families, but not all. So there are families that do not qualify for the federal funding we have. Some of those families might be people who are undocumented. It might be folks who have no formal lease agreement. So we have some informal rental processes. And so we do have forms that self-certify that someone is renting, because we're trying to make it as easy as possible to get help. So Ernest, please go to that site that I mentioned. Have some patience with us as we work really, really hard to get all the applications processed. And if people need it, we do have a phone line, even though we're trying to encourage everyone to go online because it's just quicker for us to process. But if you do have questions, it's 207-5910. And Ernest, I hope we are able to assist you, because we don't want to have people experiencing homelessness in our city.
And Vero Soto, we just had a caller and we just lost him. And his question was, I don't have the internet. How can I access these services?
Okay, great question. And it has been a question we have been concerned about as well. We still have paper applications, and we still have our office open. We're doing appointments. But again, calling that 207-5910 number, it is taking a while because many people are calling. We do have staff that is answering the phone, and if you tell them that you don't have internet access, we can get a paper application. So you can get it via mail and send it back via mail. We can receive it at our offices. There are some people who, for example, don't have access to a copier, and so they still come into our office by appointment, wearing a face mask, covering. We are helping people in our office. And so people can still either come to our office and fill out the application on paper. We're also partnering with other organizations who are worried about people who don't have access to the internet, may not watch the news as well. And so tonight we're doing a train the trainer session with COPS Metro. They have asked if we would go to their parishes and help people who may not have access fill out the forms for them. I'm going to be doing some of those sessions myself next week. And so we are cognizant that some people will not have internet access, and we want to make sure we reach out to those folks. We have a very robust outreach plan. So, for example, Metro Health is doing visits to make sure people are aware about the public health issues and how to maintain social distancing. But one of the things they're doing as they go to neighborhoods that we identified through our equity mapping exercises is that they're also handing out information about our program. And so these are areas that don't have a lot of internet access, and we have some of that data. And so they're handing out information at the businesses that are open and making sure that people have that. So COPS Metro is helping us with that. We're reaching out to TOPS and are scheduling conversations about how to reach some of their members as well, some of whom do not have internet access. So again, you can still call 207-5910. We'll help fill out an application for you. And then we can accept the documents via mail or dropped off at our offices. And our office is at 1400 South Lotus, and we're still open, even though our lobby has certain restrictions to make sure we're all safe.
Patricia Mejia at the San Antonio Area Foundation, as you are San Antonio Area Foundation, are you hearing from some of your donors or other people who say this is something that they want their contributions to flow to?
Yes, actually we are. In fact, there's about 40 partners at the table now who have created the fund and who have provided dollars for that. And one of the things that I think that is very unique about this emergency assistance fund is it provides direct assistance to families. We know that there's so many nonprofits who really are the backbone of our community and understand the most vulnerable needs, but there are a few opportunities to provide money directly to families, and this is one of them. And so many people have asked about how we can further support this initiative. In fact, that was why we really stepped up to the opportunity when asked if we could help to assist any other large donations, if there are businesses or corporations or other philanthropic partners who are not part of the fund at this moment. If they would like to do that, we would like to be able to support that and make sure that these funds are available for our community.
What kind of questions are your funders asking? What do they want to know about what this fund is doing before they commit?
You know, that's an excellent question. I think, you know, everybody has their own understanding of the problem, and so everybody comes to the table with a certain passion. You know, there are some who are directly connected to food insecurity and want to make sure that there's some dollars going to that. There's others who are connected to children, and they want to make sure that there's some parts of our programming that is connected to that. But I will tell you the common thread is just helping the most vulnerable. If there's one question that's asked most consistently is how are you assuring that the dollars that are being distributed are reaching those most vulnerable families? And so we've put things into place in our applications similar to that of the Emergency Assistance Funds that helps us to kind of monitor how and where these services are going to be delivered. We know that we live in the nation's most economically segregated places, and so we've got to look at zip codes. We've got to see where these dollars are going.
All right, we're taking another break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation talking about the COVID-19 Housing Emergency Relief Fund from the City of San Antonio. And if you've got a question, call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Nancy, hang on. I'll get you on the air as soon as we come back from this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about the City of San Antonio's $25 million COVID-19 Emergency Relief Fund. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Nancy has called in. And Nancy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. I lost my job several years ago because of a chronic illness. I cannot work. I ended up losing my car because I can't make any car payments. And unfortunately, I'm 2 years behind in my property taxes. And I need help because I don't want them to take my house because I couldn't afford anything. Even if I sold my house, I couldn't afford to live for a year.
And have you reached out to this fund? Had you heard of this fund before, Nancy?
Well, my neighbor is listening to public radio right now. He came over and knocked on my door and gave me his phone number. And so he's now called. I have not heard of it, but I will listen after we get off the phone.
Okay, Nancy, thank you for calling in. Vero Soto, the director of the City of San Antonio's Neighborhood and Housing Services Department, what can you tell Nancy?
So, Nancy, again, if you have internet access, the site you need to go to fill out your application so that we can assist you is www.sanantonio.gov/emergency-housing-assistance. When you click on that, you'll see the application, and I encourage you to fill it out and have your documents ready because you will need to show us the hardship. The medical condition that is preventing you from working is sufficient documentation for us. Some kind of ID is what you will also need. How much assistance you are needing as well. The program helps individuals with mortgage and rent and utility assistance. And so for the property tax issue, that's slightly different. But if you call our office as well, we do have counselors, and on the form itself, you can request fair housing counseling assistance. And this is also assistance that can help you figure out how you can get out of the arrears that you're in. We are working on the policy side in terms of what we do with the property tax issue. There's a lot of legal city, county, state issues there, but we're on top of what is being offered and what kind of things might be available for relief when it comes to that. But our counselors can certainly walk you through how to address your issues so that you don't end up losing your home. And so again, www.sanantonio.gov/emergency-housing-assistance, and note there that you need the financial counseling or fair housing counseling so that we can give you a call back with someone who's trained to help people keep their homes. So our program not only helps renters, we do help homeowners as well. We know people are concerned about keeping their homes, not losing them. And so that is another avenue for us to help all of our residents here.
The caller, this is David. David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. My question is, would it be possible for the landlords, for the people that don't have internet or haven't heard about the housing emergency program, to contact y'all on the behalf of their renters?
Okay. Veronica Vero Soto, could landlords come up with the program and on behalf of their renters?
Yes. David, thank you for that question. Yes, that's something that we do have available. So one of our other partners, because we can't do a program like this without a lot of partners, is the San Antonio Apartment Association. And they're doing exactly what you described. They are letting their tenants know that this program exists, and they're even taking it one step further. They're saying, if you know you need help, if you know you will not be able to make the rent for the month, the landlords themselves, the property management companies themselves, are filling out the applications on behalf of their tenants and submitting them to us in a bundle. So they're basically saying, I have 10 tenants in my however many unit apartment, and all 10 of them need help. So they are submitting on behalf of the tenant. The tenant has to agree and say, yes, I need assistance. And so a landlord can do this on behalf of a tenant if they know that the tenant needs the help. Again, we're doing a train-the-trainer kind of session. So if someone else does have internet access, they can help someone fill out an application. So the individual, as long as they have the information for the tenant, they can fill out the application for those folks. And if landlords are able to help their tenants fill out an application, we are happy to accept those as well. And someone online or on their phone can help someone else fill out that application. And so if more folks can help their neighbors, their tenants that way, we certainly will accept those applications.
Selena Pena, board president for the San Antonio Housing Trust Foundation. Tomorrow, May 1st, is when new rules go into effect that partially reopen the economy. And the hope is get people back to work and all that stuff without arguing the merits of whether it's too soon or all that. That's what's happening. People may be thinking, well, this is why we need to be open the economy, because we're having this sort of economic downturn. But still, they're saying it's going to be a slow slog back to where we were 3 or 4 months ago. So even as the reopening is in progress and we don't have a relapse with the COVID-19, people are still going to need help for a while, I imagine. Is that right?
That's correct. And I'll go back to what both ladies and really to think about. This fund is $25 million, and that just yesterday, right, the team moved $7 million, is pretty phenomenal. This will potentially help a month's worth, right, Veronica, up or even more, as it relates to how people are submitting their application and asking for requests. So the $25 million is actually a combination of multiple funds across the city. We have TERS boards who are approving funds right now. We have the housing trust ourselves, along with the entities with it that have put $5 million in. And the CDBG side is about $12.9 million, which is the most restrictive, along with the $2.5 million from the general fund. And I go through that because it's not just one person, it's many organizations and taxing entities that are combining these funds so that we can make sure we cover 30 days. There may be potentially more, meaning another 30 days, right? We thought in March it would just be 30. We're now hitting 90 days. And so we need support in growing this fund. And as Councilman Trevino and Veronica have reflected, we're already looking at what this second round look like, especially with potential slowness to get to a healthier economy and a healthier just overall state.
And Vero Soto, we heard when Nancy called in and said it was her neighbor knocked on the door and said, you got to hear about this fund. Is that something that really people need to say? If you know somebody who needs this type of help, they may not be surveying the media, they don't know about these things. You need to tell them about it, right? We need people telling their neighbors what's going on.
Yes, that is one of the best things we can do for our neighbors. As people are struggling to find resources for their needs, if you have information, if you have access to a phone with internet or have internet at home and can help someone else fill out the application, we're asking, this is one way we can do it for our neighbors. So if you know family members who are not aware of this program, have friends or acquaintances that you know may need some help, please let them know of this program and share with them that there is help out there.
Right.
And so please, we encourage that because we know not everyone.
Spread the word. And real quickly, because I'm running out of time. So one of the things that you're asking for is like a letter of termination from, and so people sometimes they get the boot from a boss and they don't really get a letter of, so should you ask for that? Or if you had been fired or let go or whatever, furloughed, you got to go back and get that letter?
You don't have to have a letter. There are various things we will accept, including a self-certification. So a self-certification is essentially the person writing a letter saying, I self-certified that I was let go from my job. This is where I worked. This is when my last day was. And this is how much I was earning. And now I don't have income. So they themselves, as long as they sign that form and you know, it's basically saying, I affirm that this happened to me. But if someone applied for unemployment and they were able to get through and have an unemployment letter, that's enough. If they have their last paycheck that shows a reduction in hours, a picture of that is sufficient. So we don't require just one document. It can be several things. Show us you applied for unemployment, do the self-certification, show us your last paychecks that show the reduced hours, that's sufficient for us.
No one knows what's going to happen, but Veto, what do you think, how long are you going to be doing this?
Well, the Emergency Housing Assistance Program is supposed to sunset in July, but every 30 days, we're supposed to go back to council and report out on how we're doing. And I know the city manager is reporting to city council about the number of applications we're processing and the number of requests. And so after the first month, we'll see if we do need to go and secure additional funding. We're waiting to see some of the federal money guidelines that are going to come out and see if we can go after that. I think there'll still be a need. I think we need to be ready for if there are evictions once the moratoriums are lifted and how to help families then. And I think we also have to be worried about possible foreclosures 2 or 3 months down the line. So we need to train our staff to do the foreclosure prevention counseling as well.
Wow.
But for now, response is our focus.
All right. Veronica Soto, Director of the City of San Antonio's Neighborhood and Housing Services Department. Selena Pena, Board President for the San Antonio Housing Trust Foundation. And Patricia Mejia, the Vice President of Community Engagement and Impact for the San Antonio Area Foundation. Thanks to all of you for joining us this afternoon. And thank you for tuning us in. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.